Welcome to the Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining. So, this is episode 49, and the title is Before You Quit Your Job. Now, what you may not appreciate is that every week when I actually get ready to do these episodes, sometimes I struggle for material because, you know, there's a lot to be said about reselling, but there's not a lot that hasn't been said already. And so, you know, a lot of people in social media and YouTube, they constantly, that's why they focus on, you know, going to thrift stores and showing you what they bought, because really, honestly, there's really only a finite amount of material. And what will happen is that they get to an episode and they finally go through some real meat. And so I try to deliver meat every day, or every week anyway. And I struggle just like they do. So anyway, today is about the things you need to do before you quit your job, because I get that question a lot, as do a lot of social media people. They show all these things that they do and how much money they're making and so on and so forth. And to some extent I do the same, but they never really say what it takes to quit your job. And it's not all financial, by the way. So just a little bit of refresher. If you're not with me from the start, I was a corporate exec in technology working in London. I was flying home to the United States where I had a house in Texas, and I was flying in and I had a heart issue in the air. And I was actually on the way home from Dubai, but I was living in London. And anyway, so I had a heart issue on the plane, and then they had to take I wouldn't say emergency landing because we were already on our final approach back to Texas anyway. But you know, I was that guy that had to take off the plane and take to the hospital. And, that was something that was probably not common for people reselling. They're probably, you know, there's a health, maybe some people have health issues and that's why they decide not to work anymore. Mine, but that's probably not as common as people just being sick of their job. So I'm just going to assume that most of you out there are just sick of their job, sick of taking orders from people that are, you know, really not the nicest people in the world, sick of the corporate politics, sick of the low pay, sick of, you know, all sorts of things that that you would be with the employment. And the natural inclination is to say, well, listen, I could make this much reselling. And, you know, they look at YouTube videos and they decide I'm going to do this. And then they quit their job and then they move forward. I hope that's not where you're at. Truth be told, you know, I probably could have used two or three more years of work while I was doing this, and so I could make this a softer landing. For me, it was a very, very rough landing, although I was fortunate to get a nice corporate severance because of, you know, my boss was my friend and still is my friend to this day. But the reality is that most of us are in a situation where, you know, you don't have this massive amount of cash coming in. And even with that massive amount of cash that came in for me, I mean, still, you can't go out and spend and do the things you would normally would do when you're making a full-time wage, because obviously you got to look at, you know, the cost of your own health insurance and all those things that that come with having a job. So hopefully you have not quit your job. But if you have, you know, it's, I guess, okay. I mean, you might want to consider going back and getting another job part-time while you could do the side hustle until you're ready. But the first and foremost thing is understand why you're quitting your job in the first place. Now, is it that you just need another job? It's just that the job you have, you don't like. You know, I would say in my case, you know, I've been working, I'm 55 years old now. Ooh, 55 years old. I retired, quote unquote, not really, but I stopped working for a corporate job when I was 53, and I just turned 53, a matter of fact. But know your why. Now, that's something that I said from the very, very beginning. That was my first episode. I said, know your why. Why are you doing this? Okay. So know that. And now step number two is to understand all your personal expenses. What is this going to take for you? Minimum. What is it going to take for you to be able to eat, to pay your mortgage or rent, pay your health insurance? And don't forget the health insurance. Pay your food. Pay going out to some level. You need to know, understand all those expenses. What is the minimum amount you need? The reason why I say that is because that's the minimum amount of profit, not sales, profit that you're going to need from your reselling business. You cannot quit and deplete your savings while trying to do this business. It's not really a good idea. Now, some of you are thrown into it like I was. And, and I could easily I can go back and go get another job. And believe me, I've gone through that psychologically a million times. I mean, I have a really funny story. It's not that funny, but I have a family member who's just retiring, and he's a professional, and I'll leave his profession out of it, but he's a professional, and he was able to sell his business, his practice, to a private equity company and make a ton of money. And so he has been mentally retired for years. He knows exactly why he hates his job. And, it was debilitating for him physically. I think that's part of it. But I think also he was sick and tired of dealing with small minutiae, and he was obviously didn't like dealing with them. He didn't like with the business aspect. I mean, really honestly didn't like anything about his job. And he was, well into it for 25 or so years. And he just said, "Hey, I had enough." And he had his way out, and he got his way out. But what makes this different from my situation is that he had a really nice, soft landing. And I will tell you, psychologically, it's very difficult to hear when you have somebody like that who has this really incredibly soft landing that he never has to worry about money ever again in his life, compared to my situation where I kind of the rug was pulled out from under me. Now, you know, that takes its toll psychologically. And if you're in that situation, I feel you, you know, but I'm assuming most of you are not going to be in that situation. Right. Most of you are just, you're plowing through your day and you hate what you do, but you have to do it because you need to live. And we're just going to try to take that side hustle and move it into your full-time job. And that needs to be done gradually. Now, it could be a very, very rapid gradual experiment, but you are far better off starting this as a side hustle and moving into a full-time gig when you make sure that your sales minus all your business expenses cover all your personal expenses. So if you have $3,000 of personal expenses a month, and I'm just making that number up, you need to make sure the profit you have after all your business expenses equal $3,000. Now, part of that business expense is to reinvest in that business. So as I've said a million times, you want to put 100% of your sales back into your business to grow your inventory, because the only way you are going to grow your business is to grow your inventory. You don't see, I mean, there are exceptions. I will say that you can't have a 500 item inventory and expect to fund yourself, in your life through a 500 inventory reselling, business. It happens. I'm not going to, listen, there's a guy who sells luxury watches that they're touting on eBay right now. He says that he sells $100 million a year now. And he seems to, I'm assuming they've checked up on him and it's real. But I think he has like two or 3,000 items in inventory, and 2 or 3,000 items in inventory generally does not yield $100 million in sales per year. Now, I don't know what his markup is. His markup might be great. Maybe on 100 million, maybe he makes 50 million or 20 million or 10 million. I hope. Now he's got 30 employees. He probably has a building. I'm sure that building, given where he sells luxury watches, is secure. And so, that's got to be expensive. I would got to believe at $100 million, if he's making, at least 10% margin after all expenses, that's net margin, not gross, he's still doing very well for himself. And it's funny, because actually one of the things he said in his interview, and this is on the portal right now, the eBay portal, that he says that he's looking to sell his business at some point. Now, mind you, if you have $100 million in revenue and you have, and I'm going to say normal margins on a retail business is about 10% or less, mind you. And I'm going to say, let's say he's 20% because he's online and it sounds like he has an expensive lifestyle. You know, let's say it's 20 million. I mean, he's probably only going to sell that thing for $100 or $200 million at the end. And of course, it sounds like he's doing other stuff outside of eBay as well. So eBay doesn't let you sell your accounts, like I've said before. Now, I would imagine with him, they probably would because it's registered to his business. And if he sells his business, he sells the account with it. I'm kind of doing the same thing, although I plan to do this as long as I can because I like it. But I can assure you that you need to build your inventory. So you need to put 100% of all your money, while it's a side hustle, back into the business. As a matter of fact, 120%. You need to take money out of your personal savings to put it in as well, because you need to have a pretty massive inventory. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, you need to build it in a scaled. You need to have be able to list more than 100 items a day at some point. And you're not going to do that in certain areas. Now, that's, again, if you're selling luxury watches or selling jewelry or something like that, maybe you don't have to do that. Maybe you could get away with 10 to 20 or 30 a day. Most of us are not going to be in that situation. Clothes are not going to do it for you. I'm going to tell you right now, clothes, it is a different, you need to scale with people when you have clothing. You need to be able to list 100 items a day, at least. And you need to build your inventory to be 10, 20,000 items. You really need to get that. That's the only way you're going to make the living you want to make. And that takes money. And you know, building a $200 into a $2 million empire sounds fantastic on YouTube. But the reality is that a fraction of us, including me, by the way, a fraction of us are going to do that. I've put probably $30,000, $40,000, maybe, I'd have to look, into the business. And then plus, not only the $40,000 I put into it, plus I put 100% back in. I just started taking my profits out. But built into that is a certain amount of growth. So I know I could do 1,000 or about 2,000 listings a month. So I priced into my business expenses amount of inventory that I need to purchase in order to keep that growth. So you need to understand that both your personal expenses and your prospective business expenses, if you need to know those numbers in and out. And there are a million ways to do that. I think you just, you know, observation and keeping track of them is the most important thing. Don't willy-nilly throw money around and buy smart. Okay. Now I would tell you avoid clothing altogether. I think that, you know, it's a good starting point. It's good. I'm glad I did it initially because I learned a lot. But the reality is that learn through me, learn through others who avoid clothing. Because the step three is you want to cut your expenses. You want to not only cut your business expenses, personal expenses, you want to cut your business expenses as well. You want to make sure that you can run this out of your home.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Or run it out of a small office. You don't want to be caught between two locations. I hear this happens all the time. As a matter of fact, I listen to Pure Hustle podcast a lot. These guys are pretty good, and they're clothing people. But that's okay. I'll give them that. But one of the guys that is in the show, his name is Orlando. He actually just moved out of his storage unit into his home. I guess he has a new home that he's purchased or renting, or whatever. And now he's amazed about how he could find things very, very quickly. He's not going back and forth between units. You don't want to be a person who runs your business out of a storage unit unless you can be in your storage unit all day long, which most storage companies don't allow. You want to be able to be in one location because movement is your enemy. movement is a time suck. Somebody asks a question about an item and you can't answer it till the end of the day because you need to go to your storage unit or you need to go fish stuff out of your storage unit to bring it back to your home to ship. And unless that storage unit is steps away from your home, you are spending probably 10, 15, maybe 20% of your day moving. And moving, while maybe good for your body, is not good for your business. You want to be at one location. You want to be able to walk to your inventory that's steps away and fulfill it, or have a mechanism that somebody else does it. So if another person is in your storage unit all day long and you just basically correspond via phone and email, I mean, maybe that's a way around it. But again, you want everything close, and that also cuts your expenses too. You don't have a $300 to $500 storage unit anymore, and that's important. So I'm in a store. I'm in a essentially a warehouse right now. I'm moving. As you listen to the show, you know I'm moving to Florida. I have a warehouse that I built in Florida that's in my house. It's attached to my house, so I could work out of my house and go get inventory when I need it. So in the process, I'm cutting my expenses by about $800 a month. That's $800 a month that I could put back into inventory, or if I have that already built into my plan, I could put it into my pocket. In my case, I'm going to put it into an employee, a part-time employee, obviously, who could then, you know, ship for me so I could actually take a vacation once in a while. They could help also do things like not only shipping, but they can also do listings if I need them to do. So you get the idea, but you reduce your expenses or repurpose those expenses in a way that's going to enhance your life. Okay, so that's really it about the finances, really. Okay, the next thing really you need to understand beyond your why is your story. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that most of the people in the world are not going to understand what you do. You're going to say, I'm an eBay seller, or I'm a Amazon seller, or I have an online store. You're going to say something like that, and people are going to look at you like you don't really have a job. I will get that. I get that from my family from time to time. They don't really say it. They're nice about that, but I can see their concern in their eyes. And if you're making a ton of money, you know, and you could finance your lifestyle and you could put money away, you could do all the things that people with jobs, quote unquote, jobs do, then I think that they could see beyond that because they see, okay, he's making money or she's making money. But most people are going to be doubters. And this is the biggest thing that you need to be able to handle in your life, because most people are going to say, oh yeah, an eBay seller. Oh, my wife or my husband did that for a while. Or is that a side hustle? Or I saw somebody who does that on TV, or, you know, fill in the blank. And people don't understand. And when they don't understand, they look at you with doubting eyes and they have a tendency to try to make you feel small or be a freeloader or whatever. And that is a big psychological thing you need to get through. And I'll tell you, I struggle with it still all the time. I'm not in that situation where I sold a practice and made, you know, several million dollars from it. I'm assuming you're not either. And my situation was probably very good in many ways. But at the end of the day, it's a boost. In other words, I was able to do this without having to work, and I could do it full time. And I know that a lot of you can't. But when you pull the plug, when it's time to pull the plug on your job, you want to be in a position where you could show that you're still contributing to yourself and to your society. Now, I'm going to tell you, for me, it's hard for me to say, well, I'm going to go to a thrift store and buy a ton of stuff, and then I'm going to resell it and make a big profit and feel good about it. To be honest with you, that's just me. And I'm you have what you do, and that's great. But for me, I just didn't see that as sustainable and certainly not scalable, like we've talked about a million times. But have that story set. Have that story in your head, because if that story is in your head, you know, people being doubting Thomases, if you will, are not going to get to you. You don't have to explain if your bank account looks better than theirs. You don't have to explain when you go out to dinner with them and you pull out your credit card or your cash and being able to pay for you and sometimes pay for them as well. You don't have to explain yourself. And that's the biggest thing for me was that, is that, and I still struggle with that today. I mean, I will tell you that none of my friends or family members understand what I'm doing. None. Zero. And that weighs down on you. Now, I will tell you, when I moved from clothing to collectibles, I started to see a spark in their eye a little bit. I think they understand that there's money to be made in collectibles. And the fact that I have a ton of them and I have them listed and I'm bringing in money is finally starting to sink in with them. But it's been 2 years. And one of the things that really has helped me is that now I don't say, well, I can't go out today because I have to go to the thrift store and buy more inventory. Because that is something I think, now, mind you, that is my limitation, right? That may not necessarily be your limitation. Your limitation may be something completely different, and I couldn't even imagine. There's so many of them out there. But for me, physically going to a thrift store and buying inventory and then reselling it is much different for me. Now I just basically go and buy massive quantities of inventory online where I go to shows. And so it's a little bit different. It's even for me psychologically different. And so I understood that about myself versus what you may be going through. You may being going to a thrift store and buying a ton of inventory might not be a big deal for you. And that's great. If it isn't, it's a limitation that I have and that you don't have. That's fantastic. And just because it messes with me psychologically, and if it doesn't mess with you psychologically, you should look at that as being a benefit, right? So it's something that you don't have to go through, right? Now, if you're also, you know, come from a job making $40,000 to $50,000 a year, which most of us are, and I was not in that situation. So again, my situation, different than yours, is much easier, right? It's much easier to replace that income. And if you replace your income with $40,000, because I made $40,000 my first year, you know, it was a struggle, but I did. And I put it all back in the business because I could, and you may not be in that situation, but, you know, it's going to be much easier to explain yourself. And by the way, you know, if you're making that kind of money, in your job, then I encourage you to get to that point in reselling as fast as possible. And once you get there and you quit that job and you say, I'm still making my exact same living, then, I mean, that psychologically for you, that's going to be a lot easier. Now, I was making $350,000 a year. So those little things that, mind you, the only thing be difference between me and you potentially is that I'm older, right? I've, when I was your age, I was making that too. And now I'm saying your age might be my age too. And there's no judgment if you are not making over $100,000 a year. There's most of the people in the United States don't make $100,000 a year, right? So that seems to be a status point on YouTube with resellers. So it's, oh, you can make $100,000 a year. That's fantastic. I don't want to make $100,000 a year. I want to make $1 million a year. And how do I do that? I need to basically go and reverse engineer that process. And how many listings do I need to make if I want to make $1 million a year? How much stuff do I have to buy and list and sort and all the stuff you do to make $1 million a year? Can I even make $1 million a year is a question. Now I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how good you are at buying clothes. You ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen with clothes. Sorry. There's not enough hours in the day of people that could work for you that is going to get to a point where could make that work. So start there, learn there. I keep on hammering this and I keep on coming back to it. I'm sorry if you do sell clothes successfully, you know, I stand back and say, go ahead and do it. But I'm going to tell you 99% of the people out there, that's what you're doing. If you're going to thrift stores, it ain't going to happen. Look at Rally Roots, look at the Rockstar Flipper. They all have other side hustles in order to make the money they're making. And I believe that they're making the money they're making. You could tell from the facilities they have, the cars they drive, and even some of the clothes they wear. You could tell that they're making that kind of money, but they're doing it because they have side hustles. Their side hustles, YouTube, for instance, is a side hustle for them. As a matter of fact, I would say it's probably their primary hustle, and there's no judgment there. That's kind of why I originally started this podcast. But I find that if I go to the lengths that they're willing to go to build an audience, and I, legitimately build an audience like they've done, that I just don't have enough time in the day to do that and still grow my reselling business. So this podcast is all you're going to get. And I'm not going to go hustle for sponsors. I'm just going to talk to you and answer questions that you ask of me. Ain't no money be made here, believe me. So the psychological component is the biggest component that you need to struggle, you need to get over, right? So you need to own what you do, but have a story. I mean, a legitimate story, but have a story. You want them to understand what you do. An elevator pitch is what we would say if I was in the business world, right? The traditional business world, I'd say, what's my elevator pitch? So when somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? I could say, I'm a vintage paper dealer. Now they will ask what that is, because that's exactly what I say. You know, when somebody says, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a vintage paper dealer. What does that mean? Well, I have a store, and that store sells postcards, Victorian trade cards, collectible baseball cards, and hockey and basketball cards, you know, old contracts, things like that. And people say, oh, that's kind of an interesting thing. How did you get into that? You know, that's what I needed psychologically to get where I'm at today. Now, if I were, you know, what I used to say is I was a clothes dealer, or I was in the fashion business, and boy, it just did not feel right for me. It gave me psychological angst to even talk about it. If you don't have that limitation, then great. You know, that's actually better than what I'm going through. Okay, that's it for the psychology piece. Let's get into how your numbers need to look. Now, we said you need to make sure that your business expenses include some growth in it. So in other words, if you know you need to list 1,000 items for the month, what is it going to cost for you to buy the 1,000 plus the replacing the items that you already sold? So let's say you sell 500 a month and you know you want to grow by 1,000 a month. You need to not only buy 1,000 more items, but you also have to buy 500 more to replace what you have. So how much is it going to cost you for you to do that? And learn where to buy cheap. You want to be able to, and I've always said this, you're a farmer, right? You're not a hunter. Hunters have YouTube channels. Farmers buy in massive quantities and basically list. So learn your markets, get to know people in your industry, focus on your industry, and then know your numbers on what it's going to cost to grow. Now, what are the biggest expenses in your life, in your business life? We'll get to personal in a second. What are your business expenses in your business life? It's going to be rent. It's going to be insurance. It's going to be inventory. Initially, it might be supplies, you know, or fixtures. Where do you buy these things and buy them for a minimum amount? Now, I'm going to suggest if you're going to get a storage facility, bag the storage facility and just pay an extra $100 or $200 and get an office attached to it. So you don't have to be moving around. And don't be afraid to go into a really crappy area of town to do that, because you will save money. You know, so your only movement is going to be your commute to your office where you work all day and all your stuff is in your office, so you don't have to worry about it. But if you pay $300 to $500 for a storage facility that's 5 minutes from your home, you're probably only going to spend $700 and get yourself a warehouse that's going to be not only the size of your storage unit, but then some. It's going to save you in the long run, trust me. But better yet, how could you work out of your house? So if you focus on small inventory, like I've talked about a million times, then you could definitely work out of your house and your garage. Now you have to have a dedicated space in your house and you have to have a dedicated space in your garage to be able to do this. But what that does is it reduces that, or it really essentially eliminates the cost of a storage facility / office. And that's going to be a very large part of your expenses. That's going to increase your net margin, right? So that's very important. You want to increase your net margin, because essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to get your expenses so low.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with Moving Tips and the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
That really your basic big expense is going to be eBay fees, right? Because eBay fees you can't get around. The only way you can get around your eBay fees is if you are a top-rated seller and you'll get a 10% discount, but you're not eliminating them ever. But you can eliminate your office expense. Now, a lot of you are working at your home anyway, so that's fantastic. And obviously, what I would suggest, you want to make sure you work out of one room in your home and part of your garage or all of your garage if you don't mind parking outside. But you don't want to be in a situation where it's everywhere in your house. Now, if you don't mind that, great for you. Or if you have four or five bedrooms in your house and you can work out of, you know, three of them and the rest is for family and friends to stay over and you and your spouse, that's great. But once it starts infiltrating your living space, I think what happens psychologically, something goes on. And I've had that happen initially before I got my office. Now it was a very short period of time because I realized that up front. But if you leave it out of your living area, I think that it's much easier on you and your family. Okay, so the second would be insurance. Insurance, you're not going to get around. You could go without insurance. I would not suggest that. Now, mind you, if you're in a storage facility or in an office, which I would suggest, you're going to need to have liability coverage and other things. And of course, if you're in your home and if you have employees, you're going to have workers' comp coverage. That's very, very important. What I would suggest you use is something like QuickBooks, which does have the ability to use their payroll service. And I think that they even have discounts on insurance and things like that. Adding a rider to your homeowner's policy. I used to be in the insurance business a long time ago, I should say. But if you have a business rider on your homeowner's policy, it won't cover workers' comp, by the way. You'll have to get that separately. But, that's a way too, but you're going to have insurance. Insurance is going to be a decent size expense. It's not something you can avoid, but just hunt around for the best rate. Now, some people will try to get around, getting workers' comprehensive insurance for employees by hiring people as a 1099 employee. I will tell you that in many cases, this doesn't work. Now, they will tell you it works. I mean, you'll see a lot of people on YouTube saying, oh, I just hire somebody for X dollars an hour and, you know, they just work under the table and so on and so forth. You can do that, but you will eventually get caught. So I would say avoid that and just go legit from day one. But you're going to need workers' comp coverage because if they're doing something in your home and they slip and it's related to your business, even if it's not related to your business, I bet you your normal homeowner's insurance policy, they'll argue with you saying it's not covered. So just keep an eye on that. And the third biggest expense is probably, we'll call it supplies. We'll get to inventory in a second, but supplies, obviously you get a supply credit from eBay once a quarter. That's not the supplies I'm really talking about. I'm talking storage units and shelving and things like that. You know, for inside your house, if you have things that need to be locked up, maybe a safe, I would say just do your best to get that through, locally. So you don't have to, you don't have to actually pay for it shipped. I would say also is if you can have really light items, you're not going to really need heavy duty inventory shelves like I have today. I bought them. They were like $300 a piece and I have, 20 or 30 of them, I guess. So that's a lot of money tied up in those fixtures. So just make your best deal, find them on eBay, do whatever you can, Craigslist to get those cheap. Okay, so the big thing is inventory. The key is you want inventory coming to you. You don't want to go to inventory because movement is money, right? Every single time you get up and you stop listing and you go to a thrift store, an antiques mall, whatever, right? You're not earning money in that travel, right? And not only that, you're putting wear and tear in your vehicle. So you want stuff coming to you. And the only way to do that is to source not only on eBay and other platforms. But you could also go to shows. Now that's still movement because you got to drive to the show. And if it's a show away from home, it's even worse because you know, obviously there's expenses associated with that. Now, also I would include auctions in this too. If you can go to an online auction or an auction, not an online auction, same thing, right? You know, you need to travel to that auction, but what you get in, for that is you get stuff in bulk and you make connections, right? So if you have if you go to a show, for instance, I go to postcard shows and I have no dealers now, I could just call that dealer up and they know what I'm looking for and they'll just send it to me. We'll agree on a price. I know that they're not going to rip me off because I know who they are and they know me. And so I could buy 10,000, 20,000 items at a single go and I don't even leave my office. You need to be in that situation. That's the only way you're going to scale, again, is to restrict movement. Now, the exception is if you go to a show and you could buy 1 million items or 100,000 items at a go, then certainly the cost per item for your travel there is minimal. But again, if you're going around the state looking for thrift stores, you're in a losing situation, my friend. Better start making YouTube videos because that's the only way you're going to make some money. Also, what's important is that you can also get, since what's happening is you're buying in bulk from one person, they'll usually give you a good deal on that per item. So I'll tell you, in the postcard industry, for instance, I buy something, if I buy 1,000 postcards, you know, I'm only probably paying $100 or less for them. And more importantly, you know, I'm not going to list all 100 of them, right? Or 1,000 of them. I'm probably only going to list probably about 500 or maybe even 250 of those. So you can negotiate a very, very low, low cost per item. Anyway, you get the idea. So let's get into personal expenses. Now, what are your biggest personal expenses? Well, you, if you're buying a home or if you own a home or renting, usually that's a large portion of your income. So you want to make sure you minimize that. Now, how do you do that? Well, one, you could rent in a lower end area, which is, you know, if you're comfortable with doing that, I'd say go for it. But your rent or your mortgage should not be more than 25% of your overall income. Now, that is not what other people are saying out there. They may even say as high as 30 or 40%. I would say no. You want to make sure that your expenses, your personal expenses, remember we just did your business expenses, your personal expenses, which are largely transportation and housing, are the biggest portion generally. You want to make sure that those are as little as possible. So you want to have your rent or your mortgage to be very, very low. Okay. So do that. If you need to move into a cheaper area, do it. If you, cause remember, you know, you're doing this for freedom. So, you know, you might have some short term, comforts that you need to give up. Right. And number two is your transportation, you're meaning your car. So you want one, you want to make sure that you have a car before you quit your job, your car needs to be paid off, right? No car payments. If you have a car payment, then you need to get that car paid off. That means trade in that Mercedes, go out and get a Toyota and pay it off, or have a plan to get paid off really quick. Or better yet, buy a used car, get rid of that new car, right? That's what I did. So my car is used. It's only a few years old, but I, you know, it already had most of the depreciation taken out of it. I mean, it just happens to be a Mercedes, but, it's, a few years old. And so it was all the depreciation, which is about 40% of the value, I think, happens within the first year. So it was 2 years old when I bought it. And so, you know, my insurance and, you know, my insurance and the registration fee are really the only things that I pay on it every year. You know, move higher deductibles in your insurance too. So, you know, do $1,000 deductible. So, if you could withstand $1,000 loss, you'll save a ton of money in your insurance, but you want to make your transportation costs as low as possible. And, that includes don't get a gas guzzler, get yourself, something that gets 20, 30, 50, whatever miles a gallon. You want something that could haul anything you buy, but at the same time won't cost you an arm and a leg. So if you could control, everything else is kind of superfluous. So if you control your living expenses through your housing and your transportation, you can control those, then what ends up happening is your run rate, your daily cost of living personally, not business, is lower. And so that threshold for you to have a bunch of profit in your business is lower and the pressure is lower. Now, of course, as you grow your business, you could then get those things that you want, right? So now, mind you, from day one, if you're already replacing your income and you already have that Mercedes that you like, and you already live in the house you like, and you've replaced your income because you've been doing this as a side hustle for 10 years, and now you want to quit your job, then that's a different story, right? I'm just talking if you're starting from scratch, right? You're just trying to get your expenses so low that your business doesn't have a high threshold to be profitable. Which brings me to the next thing. So if your spouse is working and they have insurance through their work, that's the best situation. If you don't have a spouse that's working, or for whatever reason your spouse can't work, your next largest expense is going to be your insurance, your health insurance. You don't go without health insurance. But one of the really nice things is that when you own a business, and I'm not a tax expert, but I will tell you this because I've owned a business for several years now. Your income is after all your business expenses. So if your business expenses are at a certain level, then you can qualify for government help on your health insurance. And I'm going to say that's another psychological thing that you need to get through. But as a single guy who's in his 50s, my health insurance costs me about $400 a month. And that's for basic coverage. But that's going to be one of your higher expenses, right, that you have. So if you can get government help to pay those, great. I can't. But if you could, you know, go through the health care website, you know, you're not your state one, but go through the one that's the federal one, which the Obamacare site, just to make sure you don't get some private company that's trying to sell this thing. You want the one that's government sponsored, and then you pick from there. Now, better yet, you really want to be in a situation where you have one spouse working and one spouse not working, right? And work in the business. I would say whoever makes the most in your household, have them continue to work, and then have your spouse who work on the business. And then eventually you could both quit. But I would say ease into it. Like I said, I'm in a situation where I couldn't do that. But if I were, I would have been in a better situation if I was more planful. I couldn't be more planful. My situation, again, different than yours, probably. Just be planful about it. All right. So again, I didn't want to go through every single expense, but just as a general rule of thumb, understand where all your expenses are and say, how do I eliminate or reduce each of those expenses? So if you find yourself that you need to go, you know, you live in the middle of the country and you need to go, you know, 100 miles a day to go get inventory, how do you reduce that expense, right? You know, what's the gas expense? What's the maintenance expense on your cars? You know, things like that. That would be different than what I have, for instance. So you just, in your head, you just say, okay, well, my biggest expenses personal is housing, car, and insurance. My business expenses is my office and my inventory and my furniture and fixtures. I'm just making these up. Then how do I reduce each one of those? And you go through that and you just say, well, how can I reduce this? How can I eliminate it? What I did is I combined the two. So my house in Florida has a storage area that I need. So if you might already have a house, maybe do you have a backyard that you could then put a shed or something like that you could store inventory. I hear a lot of people do that. That will reduce your overall expense. And that's the key, right? Have a low expense, low threshold, very easy to do this. Okay. So this was a long-winded episode, but this is just understand you need to go through these steps and don't ignore the psychological steps as well, right? Just go through all those steps and really have a story, really have everything kind of buttoned up before it. And when you have all that stuff done and you get your number where your net profit in your business can cover all your expenses, that's when you can quit your job. That's when it's time. One other quick thing. I'm really sorry. I was going to end the episode here, but I just thought you also want to have like an emergency fund, because in the summer shutdown or slowdown, for instance, your sales are going to go in, you know, in the, they're not going to go up until September. Right. So summer is basically, you know, June, July, August, your sales will probably be lower no matter what you sell. It is for whatever reason. I just noticed that to be true for the last couple of years. You have to have an emergency fund. So don't, Don't overlook those, and don't overlook, you know, contributing to your 401k and other things that you can do as a self-employed person. And I probably need to get somebody online here to talk to them about how do we set up self-employed IRAs. Cause actually you want to be able to, you can have your business pay all your expenses, but you know, the biggest expense that should be is your savings for retirement. Cause eventually you're not going to want to do anything, right? All right, that's it for today. Thank you very much for joining, and we will see you really soon. Thanks for, you know, next episode's going to be our 50th, so we'll try to do something really cool then. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.